Yes.
Coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Coffee Break Hour with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And you know what? It's amazing how quickly one forgets to do certain things. Because as we started the coffee break this evening, yeah.
This is like take 23 already.
To get everything set up and everything working and just to be like, who normally introduces us? How do we normally start? Anyway, here we are. And welcome to the Coffee Break Hour. For those who have joined us for the first time this evening, welcome. May you settle in, feel warm and cuddly with us this evening. And just may, you know, Abba Father, just take control of the coffee break. As we always say, may it be a time of great fellowship and a time of listening and hearing. And yes, if someone this week asked me, how do I tune into the coffee break? And if I tune into the coffee break, is lots of people going to be talking because I really just want to listen. And that was quite interesting. So if you feel that you want to chat on the coffee break, you're welcome to do so. But we also ask that, again, we keep the chats to when the music is playing, because some people actually are hesitant to come on because they really want to listen. They really just want to absorb, and they really just want to take everything in, and they can't really do that when there's a lot of talking. So yeah, we would like to ask that we please, you know, saying hello is great, and saying shalom to everybody is perfect, and that's fine, because greeting is good. But keep our chatting to perhaps when the music is playing, because that way we will give each and every single person an opportunity to listen. So welcome back to the coffee break. And yes, we have been away for a while, and we have been busy, and we know that we have even been a bit busy years away from the Bible reading group, which we are totally so sorry about, that we have not been able to be on there and to be commenting as much as we would want to be. But yes, that is life, and we are in those seasons. And with a shalom to the coffee break, we also want to say a happy Hanukkah. Yay! Yusuf, happy Hanukkah to you. And how are you doing this evening?
Shalom, everybody, and Aaliyah, I'm doing good. I just want to touch on quickly what Aaliyah said with regards to, you know, coming on to the coffee break. Maybe you're listening to this broadcast as a playback, and you've been wanting for a long time to come and just, you know, fellowship with everybody on the actual coffee break live, but you don't necessarily maybe know exactly how to do it. We've tried our very best to make it as simple as possible. So if you are a member of the website, then you can sign in to the live page at the top, where you will see it says live. Just scroll down, and then you'll see there is a player that can play while the coffee break is on. You simply click on it and you'll be able to listen. But if you are not able to maybe go on in the website and you want to listen in your car, or you want to listen while you are maybe on the train or you're traveling somewhere and you just want to sign in on your mobile, then you can also go on the website. You'll see there's a link. It says get the app for your Android phone or get the app for your Apple device. And it's very, very easy. All you got to do is click on that link with your mobile phone, and then it will download the app Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R, Mixlr, and it will download that app to your cell phone. And once it's on your phone, all you got to do is go to the search bar and type in t.i.m, coffee break, and you'll be able to find us. And it will come up instantly. And then all you got to do, put your headphones in, click on it, and play and listen to the coffee break when it comes on. It's as simple as that. And if you're not able to sign into the actual website to find it, then just go on to your Play Store or your Apple App Store, find the app, sign into it, and find the coffee break, and you'll hear it at 8 p.m. on a Sunday evening. As simple as that. And I just want to agree with Aaliyah. Let us keep the chats to you know, minimum, because some people are trying to concentrate, and others are able to do two things at once. I know I'm not one of those that necessarily can always do two things at once, even though at the moment, you know, I'm looking at maybe a screen in front of me with a whole lot of different things. But I know it gets a little bit sometimes confusing when we're trying to listen and we're trying to see what's going on in the chat, and we're still trying to think in the back of our head, I want to say something on the chat, and then we forget. So it gets a little bit confusing. So let's keep the chat to a minimum if we can, and interact with one another when the songs are playing. That will be the great thing if we can do that. So Aaliyah, I know that you had your TED talk a couple of weeks ago. I know that it was a real blessed time for you.
2 weeks ago, wasn't that long ago?
Time flies, though.
If you
think
fun.
About it, time flies. Really fun. We went to that together, and it was really awesome. It was a great experience. But also, last week we had our camp away, and we thank Yahweh for the time that we could spend with these people, and just to share the word, to spend some time praying with people, and just to have a worship time. And I think that's important. It was a great time, and I think it's important that we also have more of those times where we fellowship together as a body and we come together.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's Yahweh is doing a new thing, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited because, you know, even though sometimes it feels like we're chugging along and we can't always see over the mountain, in the end we know that Yahweh has walked this road ahead of us, and that he's leading us to a new place. Even though it feels very difficult sometimes and other times very easy, I just give praise to Yahweh for his faithfulness, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. We tend to falter sometimes, and we tend to slip and slide, but he's so gracious, and he comes alongside us and just helps us up again and shows us, hey, you know what, I'm still here. I'm still in control of your life, and I still have a great plan for your life. And I really just want to encourage people tonight, before we even start with the coffee break, brothers and sisters, understand this and know that there is a great time for the children of Yahweh still coming. I know that when we look at the news, and when we hear things maybe from people that aren't saved, and we look at how bad the world is, you know, there's things happening in the world every single day. If you just turn on the news, you'll see, you know, animals dying, whales dying, people busy getting killed left, right, and center, and things are happening around the world. But we got to understand that, yes, things are bad, but Yahweh is working. He is busy, and he is raising up an army of people that are going to do his work in this final generation. And it's going to maybe be done while the world is busy caving in on itself. There will be a time, brothers and sisters, where Yahweh will still take his children from the north, the south, the east, the west, and they will go, and nothing will stop them. Nothing is going to stop Yahweh from telling the world that he is alive, that his son Yeshua rose from the grave, and that we need to serve him. So we got to be excited that even though it feels like, well, you know what, man, things are hard, finances are hard, life is hard, times are getting tough, people are rude to one another, let it be okay and know that Yahweh is in control of everything, and that he's got this.
Amen. Would you like to open in prayer for us?
Let's do that. Father, we want to thank you today in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua that we can come together, Father, again, just to share your word, Father, on this coffee break. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity, Father, that we have to have this medium, Father, to be able to reach out to many, many people through this, Father. And I want to pray today, Yahweh, that every single person that has come to join us live, that you will richly bless them. Mm-hmm. And those that will listen later, Father, I pray that they will be richly blessed too. And Father, that they will leave after this message, Father, changed, renewed, and restored. That it won't just be words, Father, going in and out, but Father, that it will challenge our hearts. That it will challenge us, Father, to live the life that you want us to live, Father, to be a people of righteousness and truth, but also a people, Father, that do something with what we've been given. So, Father, I thank you today, and I bless you this evening for every single person that has come. I pray, Yahweh, that you guide us and you lead us by the power of your Ruach, in the wonderful and powerful name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. You know, you did a really great teaching this week about...
Did you listen to it?
Hey?
Did you listen to it?
I was there. I was there when it was conceived. I was there. I get the first fruits of all your teachings, Yosef. I'm the audience.
You know, I really got to say this. My wife gets to hear everything first. She's got to sit down there, and I got to say, hey, you know what? This is what's on my heart. Sit down. I want to tell you. And then she's just got to sit there and listen. Even though sometimes she's even so busy with her own stuff, I'm the one that says to her, no. You got to listen. You got to help me understand something. Let us bounce these things off one another. And she's so gracious to me that she actually sits off and listens. Sometimes she says, hey, I'm busy. And then I got to be like, okay, I'll tell you later. But she listens.
That doesn't normally work, though. You're always like... Listen, yeah, and you know what? It's so great. Thank you so much for saying that, because I love it. We I love it because I feel like we're like those two rabbis in our house where when you're sharing all this stuff, then I can jump up and be like, you're fulfilling the Torah.
Amen.
And then another one's like, no, you destroyed the Torah. But there's never destroying here. It's always building up. But in this teaching that you did, you know, there is a moment that we, you know, always talk about. You and I always talk about this moment, and maybe it's because we have this desire to see it, but it's that moment, you know, in Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John are walking to the temple. And I mean, it's this, they heal that man, that cripple.
That's right.
And he's just sitting there. And we've spoken about this moment on so many teachings and in so many coffee breaks. In fact, I think the last coffee break we did, we actually spoke about it as well. But it's such a powerful moment, and it's such a deep, deep moment. And we're gonna look at that moment, you know, in this coffee break. Again, we're going to be talking about it. But what I really also had on my heart, that the Father just kept on laying on my heart, is John chapter 15. Awesome. And that's a very, very deep passage of scripture. And you know what, Yosef? The coffee break is not a time for teaching. So it's not that time where we're going to be sitting and we're going to be unpacking everything, and you're going to be enthralled and you're going to be note-taking that your arm is going to get sore. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about John 15. We're going to talk about what it means. And we're going to just look at this basic scripture of what it actually means. And you know, there were so many things. Oh man, here's my Bible, and it's
like a brick for a Bible at the moment.
Yeah, so it doesn't find a place in this
massive microphone sitting in front of her, and I think she's just. Have you got it, babe?
I've got it because okay. I normally use my iPad, and I didn't this evening. I'm going back to paper. You know, paper is good. We need to go back to the real deal. All right, not this electronic goods. Okay. So there we know that in John 15, Yeshua is talking, and he's talking to the disciples. You know, he's talking to his inner crowd, and he's talking to them about a lot of things. And he's saying, I am the vine and the Father's the gardener. And he talks about being fruit, bearing fruit, and also but being branches. And those branches that bear fruit is going to prune. So he's going to work in us, and he's going to do the work. But those that don't bear fruit, he's going to totally cut off. What to you does that actually mean? So it, you know, we read this and we say, okay, so every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he's going to prune, and the ones that you know don't bear fruit, he's going to cut off. So to you, does that mean that the things that are in us that don't bear fruit are going to be, you know, cut out of us? Or does it to you really mean that the person that doesn't bear fruit is going to be cut off?
You know, I think that's a good question to ask, but when you look at the passage of scripture, I think that it kind of explains itself. It says, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And I think what he's trying to say is that we are branches that abide in him. And if we are not abiding in him, then we become useless to the kingdom, in a sense. Because the kingdom of Yahweh is made up of men and women that bear good fruit. And he says, by this my Father is glorified later on, that you go and you bear good fruit. And he also says that your fruit needs to remain. So it can't be a thing of, like you are saying now, it can't be a thing of, today I bear fruit just because I got saved, and it's like all fire and brimstone in my life kind of vibe, and I've got this holy reverence for Yahweh. And as time goes on, then my fruit becomes rotten, and it becomes a barren tree, and it becomes this, you know, this kind of like, the only word I can think of is rotten. And he says that the reason why it becomes rotten, if you look at the passage, is because of disobedience. So when we're disobedient, our fruit then doesn't, it's not good. So the way I see it is that if we remain in him and he remains in us, then we bear this fruit, and then we have life, because he is the root, and he gives that, the only word I can talk about is nutrients, to the rest of the tree. So as the nutrients go through the tree, we become branches that grow further and further, and we bear more and more fruit. So when we don't do that, we're no longer in that place of life. So I see this not necessarily talking, it's not talking about unbelievers, it's talking about believers. And it's saying that the believer who doesn't bear fruit becomes useless in the kingdom, like salt that loses its saltiness. What's its purpose? So if we are not bearing fruit worthy of the calling, worthy of repentance, and worthy of obedience, then we become useless. And he says, then I cut you off and you'll be thrown in the fire. And we can debate about where that fire is. We can debate about whether it's hell or what it means. But my honest opinion is that you'll be thrown into the outer court. You'll be thrown into the place where there is darkness. You will not live in the light of his presence. And you won't have the life that he desires you to have. So you'll be just another believer. A person just mulling around that's saved, maybe, in a sense, saved by the skin of your chin, if I have to put it that way, but you're not bearing fruit. And I think that he says very clearly that to be my disciple, one who is mature, is to bear fruit. And we, I don't know, Leah, I you know, this passage of scripture is intense, because we've been to many places, and I don't want to pick on any place that we've been to and say, oh, this place. No, but let's just be honest. We've been to a lot of places over the years, and we've met a lot of people. And one of the things that's lacking today in the body of Messiah Yeshua is fruit. We go to places, and you see how people worship, and they sing, or they dance, or do whatever. But when there is a time where we are supposed to be inspectors of what is there, the inspector that comes in is the Father. And the Father walks among us, and he looks at everything. Yeshua himself, he inspects the fruit that's going on. And the Bible tells us that the gardener is the Father. So if the Father is the gardener, and he's coming to inspect the fruit of the tree, and the tree, in my understanding, and the root is Yeshua and those that abide in him, then when he comes and he walks among us and he finds a tree that's barren, or a tree that's not, or branches that's not bearing fruit, it's not a good thing. So the Father walks among us, and he's looking to see who is bearing fruit. And if we are not bearing fruit, then we're in danger, in serious danger. And then I need to ask myself, why? Why are we not bearing fruit? Because if we are a true disciple, a true follower of Messiah Yeshua, a true son or a true daughter, then our desire will be to bear fruit. And it's not just the fruit of, like we said when we were talking, it's not just the fruit of your Torah studies or how well you know the scripture. It's not about that. It's fruit. Fruit, yeah, that's so important. It's fruit that other people need to recognize. That's what they need to recognize.
You know, it actually says here in this passage that this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Amen.
So the Father is glorified when we bear this fruit, but we need to also define what this fruit is, because Amen. It's exactly like you said. Many times we go, I've heard this scripture being taught and preached and shared many, many times, and it says, bear much fruit, and this is the way that the Father is glorified, and he's going to prune us, and he's going to work in us, and he's going to do all these things in us so that we can bear fruit. And oftentimes, we just accept that that is just fruit, and we just accept that we're going to bear good things for him. But in actual fact, Yeshua is very, very specific here about the kind of fruit that we should be bearing. And in this passage of scripture, and I'm not going to read all the verses, but there are specific fruits that are mentioned in this passage. And you know what? The first one is actually answered prayer, because we walk in obedience.
Wow.
And the Father, and you know, the Father is glorified in, you know, when we are walking in obedience to him, and we begin to pray his will, and his desires become our desires. We will pray prayers that we want to be answered, and he will answer them. But it goes back to, because we're walking in obedience with him, it relates to that passage of scripture that says, you know, that we must seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto us. And that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about answered prayer because of obedience. That's one of the fruits that it actually mentions here. And then we got to pause and stop and think to ourselves, well, if the things that we want to do in our lives, you know, are continually not being answered, how much of who we are then is surrendered to the Father's will? Because there are many times where the Father won't do something the way that we anticipate it to be done. And that's fine, because there are, you know, we're not always going to know everything that the Father wants. So for example, maybe we pray for healing in a certain area of our physical body and it never gets healed. The same with Paul, you know, he had that thorn in his flesh and he prayed that Yeshua would take it away, and Yeshua said to him, no. In this, you know, I am glorified, and in your weakness I am strong. So there are those things that, you know, you may pray for that the Father is going to speak to you and say, I'm not going to do this now, or I'm not going to do it ever, because in this I want to be glorified through your life. But then there are just the normals and just the daily living of saying, well, Father, here's my list, here's my sort of spiritual bucket list, in the sense of, I want to do this for you, or I want to do that, or I want to accomplish this or do this, and it doesn't get answered. Then we have to ask ourselves, if it's a continual lifestyle of years of every single unanswered prayer and all these things, then how much of what we're praying is in line with the word and in line with his will? And it says here that answered prayer is really a fruit, but there's also something else, and that is love. There's a big thing in John chapter 15. It says that as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, now remain in my love. And then it does say, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. But you know, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, we need to kind of pause there, Yosef, and say, yes, we could interpret this to be the commandments, but that is not what Yeshua is saying here. He is saying, I have obeyed my Father's commands. Yeshua said to the Pharisees in the Gospels as well, he said that I'm only here to do what my Father tells me to do. Now, he didn't find that in the Torah. You know, the Torah is our life. It is our guideline. It is the barriers, the way that we should live. It should become natural to not eat ham, or it should become natural to keep Shabbat. It should become the air we breathe. And we've said this so many times. But to keep Yeshua's commands means daily we need to be hearing what he wants for you and hearing what he wants for me. So those are big things that he maybe wants, like someone to do a TED talk, or someone to do whatever, or go work in a rehab, or go and establish a homeless mission, or anything like that. Those are Yeshua's commands. And he says to us, you need to stay in me and live out my command, and then you will remain in my love. And that's a challenge. How much of that do we see happening?
I also think, Leah, that what you're saying is so important, because when he says, keep my commands, he's, like you said, he's saying everything that the Father has told me to do, that's my commands, because it comes from him. Everything the Torah says, but everything I'm telling you to do right now that hasn't been found yet in the Word, that will be written down for generations to come, those are my commands. Like, go and make disciples of all nations. It was a command to his disciples at that specific time. So that was a commandment. And we go and we look back and we say, okay, well, those are all the commandments that were given in the Torah. But we forget about, like you're saying, the things that he's saying right now while he's on the earth to his disciples. He's telling his disciples, these are my commandments that I'm telling you. Love one another as I have loved you. Go out there and make disciples of all nations as I have. Do the greater works like I have. Do what I've told you to do that my Father has told me to come and do in front of you. These are my commandments, plus everything else that was given to you in the Torah that you have been keeping up until this point because you were walking in my ways. Now he's saying, hey, but you know what? I'm giving you some more things. And because I'm going to give you something else that we'll speak about later, then you'll be able to keep these commandments even more. My words that I'm telling you now are going to be for generations to come. Mm-hmm. They're not just to you that are standing in front of me as my disciples, but they'll be to every single other disciple that will come after. And that's a problem, Aaliyah, that I think I have with a lot of church theology. In a lot of different church theologies teach that, you know, Yeshua only spoke these words to his disciples, so therefore it only applied to them, which is a lie. A lot of people will tell you, oh, well, you know, the giving of the Holy Spirit and the giving of the Ruach only happened to them, so it's not for every single person and believer today. So he only told his 12 disciples, listen, you go out and make disciples of all nations and you do the Great Commission. So it was only for them. So they think it's only for a specific group because it was contextual to that time. And that's a lie. We need to understand that just as Yeshua gave his command to his disciples back in Matthew, so it applies to every single person that will pick up the mantle and walk with that same mantle today. So if we are a believer and we're keeping Yahweh's commandments, and then we need to understand that we need to keep Yeshua's words, because he only spoke, like you said, what his Father said. So if we are not doing the Great Commission, we are falling short. We can keep the Torah till we blue in the face and keep the Sabbath and everything else, but if we're not doing the Great Commission and all the other commandments, like loving our brother and laying down our life for our brother, like Yeshua said, then we are missing the point. And we are missing doing what he says we need to do.
And here he says it. He says that greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you know, it's about love here. Love is a fruit that he wants us to bear. And it's that laying down your life for his friends. And he says that he laid down his life for them. Remember, he said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Amen. Because they had gone into that deeper covenant with him and they went deeper to become just people that kind of served him, to become people that were friends of the bridegroom. And that was really, really deep. And that is why he said that, you know, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life. And the truth of the matter is that love was a very deep fruit that he wanted his disciples to have. But there was another fruit that's mentioned here that is powerful, and I think is something that we don't talk about often, and it's overlooked among the body, and especially among, you know, the messianics and stuff, but it's joy. He says here that, you know, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now that word joy there talks about an inner delight that comes from a dependency on Yeshua, knowing that no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what's going on in your life, that there will still be a sense of happiness inside, a sense of contentment. It is about rejoicing. It is about a feeling, but it is also about a knowing within. And here he says that your joy may be complete. He means it in this fullness, in this running over full type of joy that is just so, so expansive and big. And he says, this is the kind of joy that I want you to have. And that is also important, because you know what? It's amazing, because in Romans 15 verse 13, Paul actually says to the congregation, he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And so it should characterize our lives. Joy is a fruit that he wants us to bear. And if we're not bearing joy, then perhaps we need a tiny little bit more pruning in that area so that we can actually bear a joy that is complete and overflowing and that is all encompassing. And we know in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, which is then also includes joy and it includes love. But joy, you know, Yosef, how many times have you heard people speak about joy? I don't really hear people speak about joy often. Because joy is supernatural. It's spiritual. People talk about happiness. Oh, I want to be happy. And oh, I feel happy. Or, you know, oh, I did this and it made me feel good or whatever. But joy, joy is deep and it goes beyond circumstances. And guess what? Yeshua says that he came to give us an overflowing, abundant joy. So if you don't have a fire of joy today, and I speak to myself too, or if I don't have it tomorrow, you know, maybe, you know, the Father wants to do something in our lives to give us this joy. Imagine if we could live with joy every day. And, you know, there's that movie Inside Out, that cute little cartoon movie. And it's the five, if you've watched it, there's five emotions that she has, the little girl has right from the beginning. And the first one that she has is joy. Now, that movie is actually based on psychological facts, because it was created by someone that was interested in knowing the psychological or physical part of our brains and our bodies and how it all works. And they've discovered that within babies and children that we have five primary emotions when we are small. There's actually six, but for the purpose of the movie, they made it five. And joy is a primary emotion. So how, you know, the Father then creates us from the womb, even within the womb, when we are conceived, he creates us with an innate ability to be joyful. And, you know, what happens in our lives that our joy gets stolen from us? And yeah, he says, I've told you these things. He's told them, he was telling them some hard things here, hey? Sure. He was telling them that, you know, he was going to go. He later goes on to speak about persecution and the world hates them. And he goes on to say that people are going to hate you. But he then says, yeah, I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full, abundant, overflowing. And that reminds me of Psalm 23 that says, my cup overflows with many blessings. You know, surely this good inheritance is ours. Psalm 16 says that we have all these good things, that every promise is yes and amen in Messiah Yeshua. Just as you prayed earlier on, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that he is not a man that he should lie. That he doesn't change his mind about what he's promised or what he says he'll do for us. These things and these truths should give us joy. But more than that, our relationship with Yeshua should give us joy. And a fruit that he says in John 15 that we are to bear is not only love and obedience and answered prayer, but it is also joy. That deep delight that we take in living for him. And it's connected, Yusuf, to laying down our lives, because we cannot deny that while Yeshua speaks about joy in John 15, that it is connected here to laying down your life for someone else. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break.
Before we do the break, you know, in the New American Standard Bible, it says something interesting. It says, like you said, it says, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you." And then it says, "And that your joy may be made full."
Mm.
And then it says in the study notes, "Full" is the word like complete, full measure. So he's saying that by keeping his commandments through love, through a heart that wants to do it in obedience, you will have a full measure of joy in you, but your joy that is in you will also make you complete. It will make you a complete person in his kingdom, a complete whole person in his kingdom. And I think that only when we have that kind of joy are we then able to truly understand the next part of the verse where he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." And he says, "You are my friends if you keep my commandments." Mm-hmm. So I think when we are complete and we have that joy, that's not a joy of this world. It's not a joy that you get when you buy a new car, or joy that you get when you put on new clothes. It's a joy of knowing who you are in Messiah Yeshua. That identity change has taken place. And when that joy is full and we are complete in Messiah Yeshua, then it becomes easy for us to lay our lives down for our friends, because it's a matter of obedience and love. It's a matter of, "I'm doing this because my joy is complete. I'm happy in who I am. I'm happy even if I feel funny on the outside and people point fingers at me and they tell me I'm crazy. My joy is complete because I'm complete in Messiah Yeshua, and He is my joy." That's just an awesome picture, man. If you think about it, I think we don't always fully understand what he's actually saying until we break it down verse by verse.
Mm. May Father give us more joy.
Amen.
But hopefully it doesn't come with more persecution, because that's also relevant.
That's true.
We're going to go to our first song for the evening, called "Only Jesus" by Casting Crowns. It's a really great song, and it really connects with what we're saying here this evening. So we pray that you'll enjoy the song, chat away to one another, and we'll see you when we get back.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't wanna leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus.
Welcome back to the Coffee Break with myself, Yusuf, and Aaliyah. And if you only just joined us now, we are talking about Acts chapter 15 this evening, and we're talking...
John, sorry.
I'm so stuck in the book of Acts at the moment because it's just so radical and it's so awesome. Yes. So maybe that's why I said Acts chapter 15, because I really do believe that we as the people of Yahweh are going to begin to write the final pages of that book. And I really do believe that. But it's John chapter 15. And you know, before we went to the break, I was just reading a little bit further on in the passage that Aaliyah was talking. And we were talking about the fact that when our joy is full, and then our joy becomes complete when we are in Messiah Yeshua, and then it becomes easy for us to not only do the commandments, but also to lay down our lives for our friends. And then he goes on and he says, you are my friends in verse 14, if you do what I command you. In other words, if you keep all the commandments that I've given you from the beginning of time right up until this very point, and that I'm still going to give you after, just before I leave. And then he says this, he says, no longer do I call you slaves. Look at what he says very clearly. For a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all these things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. In other words, I have manifested them to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. And so then he goes on and he says, whatever you ask in my Father's name. But why this is important, specifically that verse where he says, no longer do I call you slaves. Brothers and sisters, we were all slaves to sin and death. And what he's trying to say here is he's saying, now that you're abiding in me and I'm abiding in you and you're doing these things, look how your joy is being completed in you and how your identity is busy changing. They've changed from being slaves into becoming sons and daughters. They've been changed into becoming the friends of Messiah Yeshua. And that's so important. As we do these things, brothers and sisters, I believe that there will be not only a heart change, but there will be a character change, a change that will be what needs to take place in our lives, so that, you see, brothers and sisters, this is what's so important. We cannot have fruit that remains if we are not going to do the process in our lives that the Father wants us. In other words, not even that we do the process, that He does the process in our lives. There is a step here, there is steps that Yeshua is giving to His disciples in order for them to be able to bear that much fruit. And so often we think that when we save, then we can just jump these steps, that we don't have to love other people, that we don't have to have joy that abounds and be filled and keep His commandments. People think that, well, you know, I'm saved, I can do what I want now, and then I'll just be a person that bears fruit. But a true believer who really has lasting fruit, that doesn't just come today and tomorrow it's gone, but is consistent with the kind of fruit that they bear, is one who has joy, one who overflows in love, one who keeps the commandments of Yeshua because they love Him and they know their identity in Messiah Yeshua. They are no longer slaves, but they are free. They are redeemed and they are sons and daughters of righteousness. This passage, to me, is so, so amazing. And it goes on, and I'm not even going to go on, but it goes on and it says, now that you know what your relationship is between myself and you, that you must abide in me, now that you know what your relationship is with one another, that you must love one another and lay your lives down for your brothers, then once your identity has been made complete, if you read on in this passage from verse 18 onwards, he explains what our relationship will be as a true disciple between the world and us. Brothers and sisters, Yeshua is not saying to us that when we are a disciple that the world's going to love us and clap hands for us and be like, wow, that was a great sermon, brother. You know, I'm going to bring my 10 and 20 friends to your congregation because, man, you're so relevant. You're just so awesome, pastor. You just touch us at the point where we need. And, you know, you never give us a hard sermon. It's just always so good and it makes me feel good. No, that's not what he says. He says people will hate you in the same way that they hated me. Why? Because I stood up for the truth. And he says, if you were of the world would love its own, but you are not of the world. See, brothers and sisters, if we still have a little bit of the world inside of us, the world's going to say, hey, you know what, pastor? You're such a cool dude. You know what, pastor? That sermon that you preached, man, it was just so chilled. Instead of being like, wow, pastor, that was an intense sermon. It made me rattle in my shoes, made me want to go forward and confess my sins and cry out before you because I realized that what you're saying is the truth and I'm a sinner. That's what it's about. And then he says to them, you know what, guys? When you abide in me, when you love one another, the world will hate you, but then I will give you the promise of my Ruach, the promise of the Ruach that will be your helper, and he will testify about these things to you. That's such an awesome, awesome thing, Leah. And you know, I get excited.
It's a preach it, brother.
I get excited. My wife's saying preach it. I want to preach it. And you know what? Now's the time that we ain't got to live like this. Now's the time that we can't go back and forward and be like, okay, today I feel like bearing a little bit of love. Tomorrow I feel like bearing a little bit of hate. No, we can't live like that. We have to bear the fruit that is worthy of repentance, but also worthy of the truth to show, hey, you know what? You're filled with the Spirit. So my question to you, brothers and sisters, before we go on and the year continues, is what fruit do you bear? When the world looks at you and you go to work, what fruit do you bear? Is your fruit ripe or is your fruit rotten?
That makes me think of dried fruit. I love dried fruit, but it's not so very good because it doesn't have much water in it. And sometimes we can become like dried fruit because we don't have enough ruach in it.
And you know what happens when you eat too much dried fruit?
All right.
So that's what happens, Aaliyah. That's exactly what happens. When we have dried fruit in our life and we try to feed that to other people, we're actually feeding them poison. And their stomachs are going to get upset. That's the truth. So we need to be people who give the people the right kind of fruit, not dried fruit or rotten fruit. Can you imagine? Would you love to eat rotten fruit? Would you love to go to a place where they serve you rotten fruit? No. So nobody wants to come to a person for help or for advice and then realize, hey, wait a minute, this guy is actually pretty rotten.
You know what? Legalism is also rotten fruit.
Amen.
Judgment's also rotten fruit.
Preach it, sister.
Looking for the devil behind every tree is also rotten fruit.
Amen.
Also seeing funny manifestations when Yeshua's working and you're looking for all the evil things, that's also rotten fruit.
Amen.
And I'm sorry, Yosef. You know, we got to talk about this kind of fruit. The body of Messiah needs a fruit inspection. But if they get a fruit inspection, there might be a expulsion. Because the truth of the matter is that if we're legalistic or if we're judgmental or if we are, you know, sowing division and if we are crazy in our heads and we're always looking for experiences or signs or wonders, whatever, like Yeshua says, wicked and adulterous people seek after signs or people follow Yeshua for the wrong reasons or it's all about self or it's whatever. These are not good fruits.
That's right.
And who wants to be drawn to someone that's, like you said, and you know, I'd never thought about feeding someone rotten fruit because I wouldn't do it if someone came to my house. I wouldn't give them like off watermelon. But the thing is, maybe some people would.
We do that. We as the body of Messiah Yeshua today, we have preachers and teachers, Aaliyah, that are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. And they do not have the fruit of the Spirit of Yahweh in them. They are operating in another spirit. So what they do is they give fruit to people, but that fruit is rotten. And people don't know the difference because we have no longer the Spirit of Yahweh in us to discern. Yeshua said himself, he said that we as the body of Messiah Yeshua, we have been called, you and I, Aaliyah, we have been called to be fruit inspectors. We have to inspect the fruit of those that are teaching us. We have to inspect the fruit of those that stand up in front of us and share the word. Yeshua talks about wolves in sheep's clothing. He talks about how we will know a false prophet. He's not actually talking there about believers. He says you will know a false teacher, a false prophet by their fruits. So we, as the body of Messiah Yeshua, we have to have discernment. And we have not got discernment anymore. So the sheep are being slaughtered. As it says in the book of Ezekiel, it says, I have this grievance against you, that you, the shepherds, are no longer tending to the sheep and binding up their broken bones, but instead you are leaving them to be slaughtered. And that's what's happening today, because people no longer can discern the fruit of the people in the congregation.
And some are giving genetically modified fruit, with fruit that's been made in a lab. But let's go on. You know, we're talking about John 15 and we were talking about love and we were talking about joy and all of these beautiful things. But you know, to round this all off, I wanted to get back to what I started off with saying. And that was Acts chapter 3, where we've spoken so much about this beggar. And you know what happens, Yosef, to sum up the story of Acts chapter 3, 4, and 5. You know, Peter and John, they pray, you know, they don't pray, but they're going up to pray at That's the right. temple at the time. It's about 3 p.m. And they see that crippled man and, you know, silver and gold have I none. And they do this incredible thing where, you know, Yeshua reaches out to this crippled man and he's healed. And he goes with them into the temple. And, you know, he's just rejoicing. And the Bible also says that he was literally this crippled man was like clinging to them. Obviously, because he was holding on to them. Because, I mean, can you imagine? You're like, wow, these are the disciples of Yeshua. And Peter actually sees all these people that are now stunned because they're seeing this crippled man healed. And now he starts, Peter, I mean, he just knows, you know, how to just share the gospel with people. Sometimes I'm in awe. I'm like, how do you do it? He just sees that they are shocked and interested, and he starts ministering the word. I mean, do we do that? I mean, do I do it? Anyway, so Peter just, he starts ministering this word, and we know that the priests and the temple guard people, the captains, the Sadducees, they now get upset, as they always do in the scriptures, and they seize Peter and John, and they put them in the jail, and then they take them out the next day, and then Peter and John appear before all these people, and again, it says Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he starts to tell them to repent, and he starts to tell them about Yeshua, and he starts to tell them all these things, and then they get so upset, like they normally do in the scriptures, and then they are counseled to let them go, and they say, you know what, we're going to let you go, but you don't speak about Yeshua again, and they're like, whatever, we'll do what God says, not what man says. So it's now this miracle, the signs and wonders that are supposed to follow the real, real children of Yahweh. You know, these signs and these miracles are now causing a little bit of a problem here, we see in Acts, because these signs and miracles are happening with Peter and John, but now it's brought them under the attention of the people that are ruling. And we know that, obviously, beautiful things are happening at this time in the congregation. It says that the congregation grew at that stage to 5,000 people. 5,000, it says actually specifically men, not counting women. So it was probably a lot more than that, because we know that women are generally more spiritual. So let's move on. So it's probably about 50,000 people, but 5,000 men. So, you know, there's thousands of people, and there's these beautiful things that's happening. That's a joke, by the way. Don't get upset. Don't send us an email. We'll email you. Don't email us. So we have this, you know, reality that happens. And then you know what happens, Yosef? Because of this signs and wonders. Now, you did that teaching now this week about this spiritual army rising.
Sorry, walking
up,
by the Spirit.
Walking
the
by
rising
the Spirit.
Spiritual army.
And it is about the fact that in this final generation, there has to be signs and wonders that's that right. are going to be performed by the true children of Yahweh. But you know, it goes back to something that is actually amazing in Acts chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, you know, these apostles, like I said to you, have been told not to speak about Yeshua anymore. After this miracle happens, do not speak about Yeshua. And they say that, you know, they will do what the Father tells them to do, and they are released. But then what happens? At daybreak, they enter the temple courts again, as they had been told, and they begin to teach the people. They begin to do the very thing that Yeshua has called them to do. And you know, it goes on and on and on. And then it goes on in Acts 5, verse 40 and 41. You know, Peter is talking, and so many people are being persuaded to follow Yeshua and to believe in him. And it says, though, that these chief priests again, and all of these Pharisees and the Sadducees, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Yeshua, and they let them go. It says that the apostles left the Sanhedrin, and that they were full of joy. They were rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Yeshua. What this comes down to is that this is the kind of fruit that we are called to be. Right here, they are fulfilling what Yeshua first said to them in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is all about laying down your life. And it doesn't mean a physical death, but here they were laying down their lives to proclaim the name of Yeshua. Laying down their lives every single day that they went out to the temple and they proclaimed the Messiah of Israel and the Messiah of the entire world and the entire universe. They proclaimed him, and that led them to be persecuted. That led them to be beaten. And you know what? This is the very first time that they get beaten for their faith. It will not be the last time. It would be the first time. And guess what happens here? They manifest the fruit that Yeshua speaks about in John 15. That joy that we just spoke about, it says that it was an overflowing joy. It was a deep joy and a deep rejoicing. Here they manifest and they bring forth the fruit. Why? They've brought forth the love. They've brought forth the obedience, because earlier on it actually says in Acts 4:31 that they prayed. They prayed continually for boldness. And it says that that they prayed for the Holy Spirit, that again shows us that, and it says in the book of Acts that it says Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, or it says after they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, which shows that continual infilling of the Spirit that we need, not just the first baptism of the Spirit, but this continual infilling for everything that we do. And it says that after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaking. Man, like an earthquake.
Why? You know, when is this going to happen again? And I believe it can happen again when we all begin to pray with such a heart of earnestness, and we begin to understand that Yahweh is among us and that He's holy and righteous, and that we begin to cry out to Him and say, Yahweh, give us the strength to do the things that we need to do. Why can our meeting places not shake with the presence of Yahweh? Why can the very foundations not move with the presence of Yahweh? It has to again, Aaliyah. And unfortunately, you know, it started with 12 disciples. 12 disciples. And we have to be honest. Maybe in the last days, it says in the word there, it says that Yeshua chose them. Many are called and few are chosen. In the end, those who make a place for Yeshua to dwell in their hearts by obedience and righteousness and right living and walking in the truth, I believe that they will be the ones that He's going to look at and say, hey, you know what? Come, I choose you. I choose you to go and be My disciple. I choose you because you chose Me and you did what was required of you. And that maybe in the end is only going to be 144,000 in the first group of people. And if that's the truth, then it's a very small group considering how massive the world is today, how massive this place is that we call Earth. So we need to really consider our ways. We need to consider our ways, and we need to ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? Why do we serve Him? Why do we come to the coffee break? Why do we listen to the teachings? Why do we open our Bible in the morning and pray? What is it that Yahweh is trying to say to you this evening for your life that He wants you to do? And the question is, again, and I'm going to put it forward tonight in a very straightforward way. Do you bear the fruit that Yahweh wants you to bear? And I'm not talking about, you know, the good works fruit. I'm not talking about the fact of, okay, you see someone crossing the road, you go and help them, and that's doing a good deed. I'm talking about the truth of the fruit that remains. The fruit that remains. In other words, are we self-controlled? Do we love Yeshua with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, that we are willing to lay our lives down for this cause, for this greater move of Yahweh's Spirit? And it's going to cost us something, Aaliyah. I think that we think that by just keeping the commandments and praying and being a good person, that we're going to be able to carry the weight of His glory in this generation. I think there's a little bit more that's required of us. And I think that Yahweh is looking for a sold out person. I think He's looking for a man or a woman. And this doesn't mean that you've got to sell everything that you have now and become, you know, like John the Baptist in the wilderness. No. But you have to sell that worldliness that we carry around with us, whether we like it or not. Every single one of us, whether we confess with our mouths that Yeshua is who He is and we believe in Him, every single one of us still carries around with us a measure of the world upon our shoulders. And I think what Yeshua is trying to tell us this evening is that, are we willing to get rid of those things in our lives of worldliness? And are we willing to get rid of the things that hold us back from actually doing what He wants us to do? And if we are not bearing this fruit, Aaliyah, who's going to bear it? Think about it. If we do not become fruit bearers, how is the world ever going to know the truth? The world knows, they know a degree of who Jesus is. But does the world really know this gospel that's being proclaimed now from the mouths of His servants about Yeshua and His life? Does the world really know this gospel? And that's why the Bible says that this gospel, not the gospel that we've all thought that we knew before, but this gospel will be proclaimed as a witness to all nations. And I believe that it's not the gospel like we know. It's the gospel as it's being proclaimed to us now.
And you know, that's the kind of joy, like I was saying, that we need to be. And that's the kind of fruit that we need to be. You know, it's that joy that comes through the trial and through the hard things and through the persecutions and through laying down our lives for others to see them maybe come to the kingdom or see them grow or see them mature and see them become people that themselves bear the fruit that Yeshua wants us all to be. And imagine if being so sold out that no matter what happens in your life, and that's the kind of life that the disciples lived, you know, that the first believers lived, that even though they were flogged and persecuted and they laid down their lives for many and ultimately for Yeshua, it came with a deep joy. And I think we don't put suffering and joy together. we put suffering there and joy here. We think, you know, happiness and joy is always about things going right in our lives. But it's not. It's about what kind of fruit do we bear when things aren't going right or when the persecution comes? And what kind of joy do we bear when it does go right? Is it just that temporary happiness and, you know, that instant moment of that effects of the good thing happening? Or is there joy in everything? May Yeshua give us so much more joy. I know we all need it. So we're going to go to our final song this evening called Set My Heart by Vertical Worship. And this is the time where you can put down your prayer requests so that when we come back, we can pray together and we can pray for one another. And we always encourage everyone that listens to the coffee break to pray for one another. Pray for the person above you. You know, the person whose name you see above you on the coffee break. Say a quick prayer for them. Say a blessing over them. And when we come back, we will pray together. Enjoy the song.
Quiet the voice of doubt. Joy be greater than my grief. I have set my heart on you. You have every part of me. I set my heart on you.
Father, we just thank you so much this evening that you are so good to us. And Yeshua, we just want to really lift up your name this evening. We just want to thank you so much that you are good and that your kindness endures forever, Father. And I just really want to pray this evening, Yeshua, that you would just help us have that joy that you want us to have. Help us just have that deep, deep joy, Father, that fruit that you want us to bear in our lives that's overflowing. Help us love. Help us be the people that you created us to be with every bit of destiny inside of us, moving towards our purpose each and every single day with passionate hearts, full, Father, for your kingdom and full for the things that you want us to do and to proclaim and to say. And this evening, I just lift up each and every single person that has joined us on the coffee break this evening, Father, with every unspoken need for our families, Father, every unspoken need for our children, every unspoken need for our friends and our family members, our neighbors, whatever it may be this evening, we lift it up to you and we pray that you would make us strong and that you would make us, Father, just examples of faith and love and hope, Father, to them in this really, really hectic world, in this crazy generation that we're living. And tonight we just say thank you for that. I just praise you, Father. I give you all the glory and praise tonight. Thank you for this coffee break, and we pray, Father, that every word that we speak, Father, that it would really just be able to touch lives and touch hearts. And that's the prayer that we have. And so bless each and every single person and keep them safe this week as they go into a new week. And may Hanukkah be a time where we become people that truly are lights in a very, very dark world. May we stand in this generation and do all to keep standing. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the praise for this. Yeshua, we pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Before I carry on praying for the other requests this evening, I just want to say something. I know that sometimes people have mixed reactions to Hanukkah and to what goes on. But the truth of the matter is, I challenge you to really go onto the website and go and read the teaching on Hanukkah and on the background of Hanukkah, and allow the Ruach just to speak to you. It's not, you know, when we understand the background of it and we relate it to the message that is being proclaimed as a remnant in this generation now, and even what we have just been speaking about this evening, about overcoming in a generation that's totally defiled. You know, when we are up against the wall, will we stand up for the truth, and will we be the people that Yahweh wants us to be? And if we understand the story of Hanukkah and how things are going to play out in this last generation, then we'll be able to connect the dots together and get an awesome picture of how the Father is raising up an army of people to stand up. And it's important for us to understand the background of this. Many people skip it because in the church we taught, oh, well, you know what, something happened in the intertestamental period. There wasn't much going on, but there was a lot that was going on during that time. And it's important for us to understand that. So I challenge you, and I put that before you, and I encourage you, is a better word, to really listen to it and understand, you know, the background of this entire thing. There's a lot of things, yes, I agree, that maybe we don't always agree with, but the truth of the matter is the history of Hanukkah is important for this generation to understand. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this evening for your word. We want to thank you, Father, for the joy of Yahweh, which is our strength. Father, I'm reminded of those words, Father, that the joy of Yahweh is our strength. Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua that we will not have, as we spoke about on the camp this past weekend, Father, a false humility that so often goes ahead of us, Father, and makes us look as if we have everything all together. But instead, Yahweh, I pray that we will be rooted in Messiah Yeshua, and that, Father, through that rooting, that we will have a joy that is complete, a joy that will overflow, a joy, Father, that will be within us, Father, like a river streaming inside of us, so that when people look at us, Father, that they will know that these are truly the children of the Most High. And Father, to have that joy takes a sacrifice of worship, a sacrifice of our time, a sacrifice, Father, to spend time with you, not only 10 minutes a day, but to spend time with you, so that the world in us, Father, can be removed, and so that the light of your presence can shine through us. So Father, I want to pray this evening, Yahweh, as we have looked at so many things that are going on here. And Father, we want to just lift up Sister Sudi to you, and specifically her daughter, Father, as we know that we have been praying for a long time, Father, for her life. And we want to pray, Abba Father, that the pain that she continues to bear in her heart, Father, will be removed in the name of Yeshua. I pray, Father, that there will be a deliverance taking place in that young lady's life. Father, that she will be delivered, Father, from the pain and the hurt and the oppression, Yahweh, that she's been carrying around in her life. I pray too, Father, that the words that her father spoke to her, Father, I know that it's easy for us to pray and say, oh, Father, we pray that those words won't hurt. But Yahweh, the person who's carrying the hurt, Father, doesn't see it the same way. So we want to pray, Father, for understanding. But we also want to pray, Father, that Sudi will have a joy, Father, as she said, that she will need to shed joy, and that she will, Father, be able to have a joy on her life, Father, that will be contagious to her daughter. And we thank you for that. We also want to pray, Father, this evening as we have that request for Gusty, Father, to find work soon. Father, we pray in the name of Yeshua that your will be done in that situation, Father. And Father, as he waits to find work, I pray, Father, that you will do a work within him too. And Father, that you will bring about a complete restoration and a complete change in that man's life, Father. I don't know who he is, Yahweh. I don't know who Gusty is, but I believe, Father, that you who started a good work in us is faithful and just. And I pray, Father, that there will be a great testimony from his life to say, hey, you know what? Yahweh gave me this job, and I thank you for that. So, Father, we bless you this evening, and we praise you, and we thank you for the time that we can have together. Thank you for every person that joins us faithfully every single week, Father, and those that join later and listen to this broadcast, Father. We are truly blessed to be able to engage with them, to be able to share the word of truth with them, and to grow together. That's what's important, Father, that we grow together and that we move forward, Father, to be the people that you want us to be. So, Father, I pray that as we go our separate ways this week, that you will continue to do the work in us, Father, that we will not be stubborn and stiff-necked as Israel of old and reject the work of the Ruach, but instead, Father, that we will embrace it and allow the fire to burn in us, Father, purifying and purging every part of our spirits, Father, in every part of our hearts, so that we can be more like Yeshua. And we thank you for this. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much to each and every single one of you. You are each so special. Thank you for joining us this week. Yosef, I think it's sometimes good to just be real too, you know, because I just feel like as we come to the end of it is a secular year. We know it's not the biblical year, but our time works according to the secular year. When you get to this point of the year, this December point, it's like there's just a tiredness. You're just so tired. You need a holiday. And so, yeah, I just feel like, yeah, we're tired, you're tired. And yeah, I just pray that we, all of us, will get a bit of a break. I know that so many people are saying, yeah, it's been a long year and we need a break and we need a bit of time out. We need a bit of a prolonged Shabbat, not just one day a week. We need like at least 2 weeks. So I hope that many of us will be getting that time out and to do some self-care and look after ourselves and just reposition our heads for all the work that we have to do in the new year and the new things. So yeah, may you guys all be blessed as you just, you know, go through this incredibly tough season. May we continue to pray for each other, because December does get crazy when people are doing all these pagan things and crazy things. May we just continue to pray for each other, just to be protected during this season and protected during this time with whatever we are doing. So yeah, have a Shavua Tov, everybody. We will see you next week, same time, same place. And Yosef?
And the last thing I just want to say is not to, you know, push forward an agenda or something, but go and check out that page that Marilise made. It will really truly bless you. I think that she has a good vision of something that the Father's laid upon her heart. And the truth of the matter is, guys, I'll be open and honest. As a ministry, we always need funding, and we believe that 2019 and going forward, we want to, as a ministry, not just do things like this on the coffee break or on YouTube. The heart of the ministry has always been to go and to minister face to face to people. And in order to do that, sometimes you need to raise funds. You need to be able to, at times you depend on other people, but at times you also want to be independent and be able to say to somebody when they ask you, can you come and do these things? Can you come and minister at a school? Can you come and minister?
But Yosef, also sorry to interject, but you know, also we do get invited to a lot of places a lot of times. And in this December, you know, we have actually been invited to, we were invited to go work in a refugee camp in Greece. And it was something that we prayed about for a long time, and it would cost us a lot of money. But there are times where a lot of people do reach out to us and do want us to do those things. And we don't always share that on the ministry. We don't feel like we need to continually share that and be like, oh, do this, do that, you know. But, you know, 2019 is a year where we believe that we will need to go and we will need to do the things that Father's laid in our heart to do. And so we are expecting for that, and we are encouraged, and you know, we want to do that. But, you know, not from our side. We know that Marilise had that vision and that burden on her heart, and she had shared that without knowing all the rest of the things that we are possibly sharing with you this evening. So yeah, go and check out the page.
Yeah, go have a look.
So let's end.
And we just want to say thank you to those of you that do give. We really, really are blessed by every single person that gives to this ministry on a monthly basis and helps us. It goes a long way, more than what you would ever know. And without your guys' help, many of what of the things that we do and the ability to do those things would really be hindered. So we just want to say thank you to every single one of you that give. I know that sometimes, you know, it's generic when you give and you just get a thank you. But we want to say from our hearts to all of you this evening, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for everything that you have done over this year and helped. Whether it be a 10 rand or a $5 or a $1, whatever it might be, whatever you gave, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you gave it not because of who we are, but you gave it because of Yahweh's kingdom. And we are so thankful for that. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you, and may He make His face to shine upon you, and may you truly be blessed as you continue to walk with Him. So we're going to play out this evening with a great song, and I really want to just say the song's name is Why Should I Be Afraid? And it's by Paul Wilbur. And I want to really just speak this song over each one of you. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Let's become the people that He wants us to be.
Amen.
So we're going to play out with it, and we'll see you again next week, and hopefully do some new teachings or whatever soon. But we look forward to seeing you on the coffee break. Shalom.
My strength and my strong tower. Why? And it's not by power, it's not by your own might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. All who call upon the Lord shall be saved. Sometimes when you just don't have the right words. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let me hear your voice. Whoa, whoa.
It's by the Spirit of the Lord.